Chapter 17. Looping Back. My bandaged hands ached badly. Though I still had some use of my right hand, Herbert cared for me kindly, changing bandages and soaking them in cooling liquid. "I've talked much with Provis," Herbert said. "He told me the most astounding story about a woman from his past. Shall I tell you?"
"Please do," I said, eager for anything to take my mind off my pain.
Herbert launched into the tale as he changed my bandages yet again. "The young woman had been outrageously jealous of anyone Provis turned an eye toward. Jealous enough to murder. She killed a woman, though Jaggers got her off on the charge." I jumped, amazed that again things in my life had looped back upon themselves. "Tell me more," I said. "The murder wasn't the worst of it," Herbert said. "There was a child, a daughter that Provis was deeply fond of. The woman declared she would destroy it in revenge. Neither woman nor child were seen again by Provis." It seemed impossible, but I was certain. "Herbert," I said, "the man we have in hiding down the river is Estella's father." As soon as I was able, I went to Mr. Jaggers to have my suspicion confirmed. Though he talked in circles, I followed well enough to see that Estella was the child of Provis and Molly.
"Now, if such a secret did exist," Jaggers said, "who would benefit from making it known? Would the father feel better? Some secrets ought to be kept for the good of all."
I did not know if I agreed with that, but I could think of no argument. After seeing Mr. Jaggers, I paid for Herbert's partnership with Miss Havisham's money. I felt much improved for having helped my dear friend. Over the next month, my arms healed until I could use them slightly. Then we received a note from Wemmick. The time had come to sneak Provis out of England. Herbert and I studied foreign steamers, certain that one of them would be the best way to get Provis out of the country. All we needed to do was get him aboard. We decided to call in the aid of our old friend Startup. He would take my half of the rowing while Herbert took the other half. I would steer. We would row up to the house where Provis stayed and load him into the boat on the back stairs. After settling the plan, I went home to discover a note waiting for me. It bade me come to the marshes that night. The writer had information about my Uncle Provis. I left a note for Herbert and rushed to catch a coach once again for my old home. It was dark when I arrived. A full moon offered some light.
I wandered for a bit,
meeting no one. Finally, I came to a small shack. I knocked and no one answered. I tried the latch and slipped inside. "Is there anyone here?" I called. Suddenly, I was caught from behind.
"Now I've got you,"
a voice cried. I fought, but with my arm still weak, there was little I could do. The man soon tied me up. It was then that I knew him, Orlick.
"You ruined my life," he called. "Joe was all for you. You stood between me and Biddy, too."
He slammed a hand on the table.
"And I knew you ended my job at the mansion."
"What will you do to me?" I asked.
"The same I did for your shrew sister," he replied.
I yelled then, yelled with all my might. To my amazement, my cries were answered. A small group of men burst through the door and jumped on Orlick. They wrestled him to the ground. One of the men broke from the group to rush to my side. It was Herbert. At seeing my scrawled note, he had come following me. Startup, too. They had pulled in men from town, including the tailor's boy. I was glad to see him now. Together we returned to London to complete our plan for saving Provis. I rested all the day to regain my strength for the night ahead.